would think that the citizens of Europe would disagree that war is good for absolutely nothing. Like the citizens of France, even though they were not grateful to us for saving their bacon twice in world wars, I think they would think there's at least some value to war, Pinto. But good bumper music. We're talking about Syria here on the Mike McFeely Show on this Tuesday afternoon. And our guy that we turn to when the world explodes, Thomas Ambrosio, NDSU political science professor, is our guest in studio. How's that for a title? How's that make
when
you feel?
When the world explodes? It seems like exploding a lot lately. I don't know.
Yeah. You and I are seeing more of each other than I'm seeing of anybody else, actually, which is, a bad thing. No offense to you. This is some serious stuff. This is not, you know, somebody drawing a line. This is somebody using chemical weapons in the United States. Chuck Hagel, the defense secretary, saying, yep, Thursday, we're probably going to get things rolling here Thursday with missiles.
Right. I've never seen a war that's kind of announced ahead of time. That's kind of interesting in terms of the date. But it's unclear exactly what's going to happen. What's coming out was being leaked, and I don't know if it's from the administration wanting this out there, that this is going to be a very limited attack, basically a slap on the wrist. Very similar in some ways to going back some time to Reagan's attack on Libya, where it was just a couple of days. The problem is that then what? The then what problem? Does Assad come out, you know, from his bunker, dust off his shirt and say, is that all you got? Now what?
Well,
now,
given his history, yes, right. That's what he's going to do.
I mean, and it's not. What's interesting about this whole debate is that I don't think we really are focused on what they're fighting for, especially the regime. This isn't a civil war. This isn't just about power. This is about the ruling minority religious group that is afraid of being victims of genocide, and they're afraid of losing power. This is a fight for survival in their view, that this is for all the marbles, not just about who's in the presidential palace, but this is for everything. So slapping on the wrist is not going to make him say, oh, you're right, I'm really a bad guy, maybe I should just step down.
So you're saying, you're not saying, you are suggesting that unless the United States does something, okay, if you're right. Framing it in that term, in those terms, then what can we possibly do? If the ruling party, minority party, is fighting for literally their survival,
right,
then what can we do that's ever going to scare them?
Well, the line then would go from, say, this Reagan-esque, slap on the wrist, blow some things up, then move on, to what happened in Libya most recently, in which essentially we became the air force for the rebels. And we bomb much more comprehensively and not get him to leave, but get him to lose and essentially have the regime lose. And that is, I think, what the rebels have wanted from day one, for us to intervene. And I'm not sure where Obama's going to fall down on this. I mean, supposedly we're talking about a very limited attack with missiles. But what happens then? And is the president going to reevaluate and then get deeper and deeper? And that's, I think, one of the questions that's going to be answered probably within the next week.
But, okay, let's going back to the moral question, because a lot of people have emailed in and called and said, well, we need to do something here because this guy is bombing his, or killing his own people with chemical weapons. But so then if we choose that side, then aren't we as a nation choosing the side that wants to eliminate the other side? And aren't we going to lead to genocide then in Syria?
Potentially, yeah. I think that there's no good guys here. And I think that's the problem that has kept President Obama and the United States out of Syria. There's no white hats, black hats. Everyone's kind of got a black hat on. But what's happened here is that what changed things was this massive use of chemical weapons on a large scale. And then what happens at that point is that the president's own credibility, the American credibility, is put on the line. Because President Obama drew a red line and said, if you cross it, it's going to be there's going to be a problem. So Assad, the leader of Syria, crossed it. And now we have there's that kind of geopolitical element at stake there. There's also a moral argument. Can we, as the United States, stand by while this occurs? And what we're going to hear a lot of is this idea of responsibility to protect, R2P, which is the phrase. Mm-hmm. But that's a moral argument. It's not a legal argument. It's a moral argument. And then there's also the legal issue as well. And in this case, if we do attack Syria, it will not be in international law to do so.
Well, we're not declaring war, correct?
Well, we haven't declared war.
Obama's not going to go to Congress. And this has been 50 years of this. Another example of not declaring war. We haven't declared war since World War II.
Right.
I don't think.
It was like Romania we declared war on.
Sure.
In like 42.
And why wouldn't we? So if we fire missiles at Syria, that's an act of war by anybody's
It's an act of war.
Definition, yep. And we're not declaring war.
Right. And if it's a limited campaign, then President Obama does not have to go to Congress because it doesn't fall underneath the War Powers Act. If it goes on longer, if they decide to extend this, then it becomes problematic. And Bill Clinton ran into this in the Kosovo conflict in the late 1990s, in which it was an undeclared war. And it went longer. It was about 70-something days, and there was no congressional authorization for it.
Well, sure. And then that's when Congress starts getting nervous because they're right. being superseded by the president's powers or his perceived powers, and then it becomes a political battle in D.C.
Exactly. And then there's that element, then there's the kind of international law element as well, whether or not this would be legal under international law. So there's a lot of different things going on here. I think that that's really key in terms of the president's decision making.
How important is it? And I made this argument earlier. Okay, so the president drew this line, this red line. Stupid. I think we all agree. Stupid move by the president initially to do that. Why would you put a line out there for a crazy man to cross who's fighting for his very survival?
Right.
But he did it. Is that reason enough? You know, you talk about U.S. credibility. Is that reason enough to start a war with somebody? Because my argument would be, okay, fine. I screwed up. You probably can't do that as you're posturing on an international stage, but is that enough reason trying to save face to go to war with somebody?
Leaders do that.
I know they do. I know.
But again, it's unclear whether or not this will go on more than a couple of days. And if it does go on for more than a couple of days, then it's not going to be a quote unquote war. It'll just be some kind of we had them during Clinton's administration too, in which we had, missile strikes in Sudan and Afghanistan, a couple week and a half of bombing in Iraq, things of that nature. So it'd be much more limited. Again, not necessarily the danger, but in terms of the calculus for the politics and the morality and the law changes once we move into a much larger campaign. And it doesn't look like the administration's going that way right now, but that could change within a week.
This is the last thing, and hopefully it's the last thing any president wants, is to have to make decisions like this. But Obama, it seems to me, really wants nothing to do with making any decisions like this. Obama came into office in his second term, had these big, broad, again, domestic ideas. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. Reality is now he has to make decisions on the international stage, and this is not his strength, and he doesn't want it to be his strength.
Presidents always get into this in the second term. Mm-hmm. And President Obama came into office saying, I am not George Bush. I am the man who ends wars, not begins them. Mm-hmm. So the whole leading from behind in Libya, look, we're getting involved, but we're letting other countries take the lead. Here it looks like we're taking the lead. And I don't think the president wants another war in the Middle East. But sometimes you kind of get dragged in. And that's not necessarily something I think he wants. I can't imagine we're going to send in ground troops. I don't think that's going to happen. But on the other hand, unlike, say, Kosovo, where we did eventually send troops in after everything was settled, that's going to be nothing compared to Syria if the regime falls. You're going to talk about a massive continuing ethnic and civil war. So I think the calculus really changes. And then you have this vacuum in one of the most important countries in the Middle East.
Thomas Ambrosio, North Dakota State political science professor, is our guest for the next several minutes in this program, talking about Syria and the mess that is Syria. Looks like the United States is going to fire some of our missiles at Syria and President Assad likely Thursday, Friday. We don't know, although it seems like we've opened our playbook and said, here, Thursday, we're going end around, coming right at you, opening up a hole up the middle. Let's go to Camburn in Crystal, North Dakota. Camburn has a comment or question about Syria for Dr. Ambrosio. Go ahead, Camburn.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Dr. Ambrosio.
Hello.
Hi. There was a report yesterday, and I don't know where I read it, but it was in one of the foreign newspapers, of a quote by one of the UN inspectors on the ground who was interviewing survivors in hospitals and in refugee camps. And she made the statement that the attack appeared to have originated in rebel-held ground. And in her opinion, from her investigation, there was little doubt that the rebels had instigated the attack, not the Assad government. Now, this is a UN person, not some fly-by-night person.
Right.
And politically, it would make sense because the rebels are losing right now. It's a back-and-forth goal into tribal warfare. But if they can draw somebody in to eliminate some of the opposition to their particular view, that would enhance their long-term position.
All right. Cameron, thank you.
I haven't seen that quote. Certainly it would be in their interest to do so, but it does look like that the regime did. I mean, you're starting to see the intelligence services starting to line up throughout the world saying that the regime was responsible for this.
Yeah.
And we know that he's had the weapons, and there's no question, unlike Iraq, that he currently has the weapons. So it'd be hard pressed to find out, you know, 100% one way or the other, but certainly the regime has an interest in this. And in fact, there was specifically fighting in that area of Damascus at the time where the government in that area was actually not doing so well, and they were doing an offensive.
Iran, they're going to get involved. They're Syria's ally. Russia is Syria's ally. This is not just President Obama versus Assad. There's a whole mess going on here. What's going to happen with Iran if the United States fires missiles at Syria?
The Iranians have said that they consider Syria one of their provinces, essentially, that essentially it's as important to them as their own territory. And that is the big question to me, is whether or not Iran will actually do anything. And they have missiles that could hit Israel, and they've actually said that Israel will be the first victim of any attack on Syria.
They've already said this recently, like today or yesterday. All right, okay.
And it wouldn't take a whole lot for the Iranians to go after Israel. But in a limited campaign, they may stay their hand. They may decide not to. If it looks like we are trying to overthrow the government, then the government may feel like it has no other options. You might as well bring the temple down around your head if that's your only choice.
So Iran, do they side with Assad or with the rebels?
They side with the government completely.
Okay.
The government is their ally, actually is their only Arab ally. And in fact, religiously, the religious minority is connected to the Shiites, which is the religious group in Iran.
How about Russia, who we thought we were going to have better relations with Russia? We're not having better relations with Russia. Where do they play into this?
I love the Russians. They're just playing the game. It's all chess to them. They will accommodate a post-Assad world. They're very flexible. They're not going to do anything. They'll complain a lot. Vladimir Putin is going to probably get up there and start, yelling. But ultimately, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to risk larger relations with the United States over Assad. So, I'm not worried at all about Russia. I mean, Russia, they're going to figure this out, and they're just going to move on.
Is there any way at all, that the United States does this for 2 or 3 days, backs out, says, okay, that's it, we're done, and the whole thing just ends? There's no way that Obama can fire missiles at Syria 3 days later, say, okay, we're out, we're done, see you later.
Right. And this is the danger, I think, of this kind of incremental approach in which you basically shoot some missiles and then he's going to come under even more pressure. Well, you were willing to use force and yet he's still killing his own people. And ultimately, there is a moral question of, well, you don't like it when he kills them with chemical weapons, which you're not doing anything when he kills them with regular
conventional
artillery.
Weapons. Yeah.
Right. And I think that the danger is, I think, for the administration of once you put your toe in the water, you have to go in all the way. And I think this is something that's not being sold to the American people. Now, maybe President Obama is going to have the fortitude to say, we're done. Maybe not.
No chance. Absolutely no chance. Doctor, thank you. Thanks for stopping by. Someday under better conditions. We'll chat and talk about the world. You bet. At Thomas Ambrosio from North Dakota State.